since if you hold like that the Rosh's view, Modu Miftar is a din of the Mechayiv, and certainly that's the case in Dalad Behei, that the Ikar Mechayiv is the Tvicho Mechira, so then the idea that Damin Kedahashtar, Damin Kishas Tvicho Mechira, but that it's connected to the Ikar Mechayiv is something that is clear. So how do you explain Tlaik and the Mikara? So that would have to be, that's the exception. And the idea is, as much as there's an independent Mechayiv of Tvicha Mechira or Hamana B'din for Kefal, as much as that is true, it still has to be the Cheftza Shel Gneva. And the Cheftza Shel Gneva is still defined on a physical level, Tlaik and the Mikara. That was the Ri. Then we had Rabbeinu Tam. But the Ri also makes it perfectly clear that one thing you will not say is, Yukra Zava, Yukra Ganav, or Zula Ganav. That idea that you won't say. Okay. Then we had Rabbeinu Tam, who thinks that physical and Yukra Mizula changes are indistinguishable, and the real issue is that of Kula and Chumra. And you always go in Kefel and Dal Behei the Kula. Now, why that exactly is, I think is still not so clear. But either way, what emerges in Rabbeinu Tam is that it's not a question of there being one rule and an exception, which we were suggesting for the Re in two different versions. For Rabbeinu Tam, right, the idea seems to be that there are two shows chiyuv, or two critical events, Hamana Bedin and the earlier Geneva. One is not any more perhaps than the other, or if one is more from the other, at least it's not reflected in this particular halacha. What's important here is that there are two. That's one possibility, or a second possibility. Not that there are two, but that there are... not that there are two possibilities, but that there are two ingredients. The difference between them is as follows. The first shot is, basically you have two shows for you, and the way to understand Rabbeinu Tam is you pick the one which is more makel. If that's the case, then they're equally good candidates, and you're picking the more makel one and ignoring the other one. That would be the way to look at it. And then the chiddush would be that you're makel in knasos. One could have said you the dafka should be machmir in knasos because that's what a knas is all about. Rabbeinu Tam's telling you, dai le chumra. It's enough that we're machmir, that we impose a knas. You don't have to impose it and apply it in the most chomer way as well. That's perspective number one in Rabbeinu Tam. According to the second perspective, I guess don't know which one it is, what we're saying is a little bit different. And that is, both, it's not that you can pick and choose whether you want to address the ski of B'shas Hamana B'din or B'shas Gneva, but that both are crucial, both elements. And since both elements are crucial, therefore you have no right to go beyond the common denominator of the two. Common denominator of the two, Likula. Sometimes that's going to be Shas Hamana B'din, sometimes that's going to be Shas Achiyu. Then we're not making a statement in general about Knossos. We're not saying, we're Dafka, want to be Mako. What we're saying is that you have to be Mako because you have no right, you need both of these elements, they both go into the Chiyub, you have no right to extend beyond. Okay. It's not like we were talking about in other contexts where there are two chiyuvim, but they just shouldn't overlap, like a chiyuv tashlumin and a chiyuv be'en. So then you might say, well, take the higher of the two. That's not what we're saying here. It's not two chiyuvim, it's two ingredients in the chiyuv. Two ingredients in the chiyuv, you always have to take the lower of the two, not the higher of the two. Two independent chiyuvim, however, that overlap, you always take the higher of the two. That would be the general rule. I think there's a third way to explain Rabbeinu Tam, and that is if you focus on, just again, these are small nuances, but they might be difference. And that is if you focus on the limud of Achya Lekeren Kein Shaganav and what the Re rejects on Samachay Amar Aleph. Namely, the Tosas on Samachay Amar Aleph says that Achya means that you pay a higher price. So if Achya means to pay a higher price, how could the Gemara think that sometimes you're going to go Karen Kein Shaganav is going to be a lower price? Right, that's Tosas' question. So Tosas answers, the Re answers, no, it's not a higher or lower price issue. It's a question of being mashlim, the chiyuv. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, one might say that the real pshat is achya lekeren kein shaganav, and that is that the keren always has to be higher than the kein. In which case, again, it's not a general din in knasos. It's halacha in the relationship between keren and keifa, that keren has to be higher than the keifa. Okay, these I think are three ways to understand a minatam. There's a question? Yeah.
Is it possible to say that Tosos didn't understand a minatam in the first place? Because one of the questions on it is malikat lepaga, malikat lekula.
Right.
And therefore, that would only be the case where you're being more makil as opposed to being more machmir.
Why? Just one second. Malikat lekula, malikat lepaga is to explain the case of shamein vehikrisha.
I'm saying they want to reward the gana for.
No, so that's a tie. I mean, even Rabbeinu Tam agrees with that.
Right, but one of the questions Tosafot has on it is how Rabbeinu Tam is not consistent with that one.
Right, because that's a tie. But that, the point is, then you're not going to be, that's a different fact. I would just say that either way is a separate factor. In other words, for Rabbeinu Tam, that's a tie. Meaning, on the other hand, you're not going to go so far as to say this halacha when he is downgrading, you know, his own chiyuv at the expense of the nigna. That far you won't go.
Yeah.
I think that's a pshat in Rabbeinu Tam in Malik Katalik Kol
Ha'Avad. Right, so ask that on Rabbeinu Tam. Maybe look at Rabbeinu Tam in
terms of the... okay, which line is it? How does it sound again? Just 1 second. V'hod amal el shmena v'ikrisha tzarech lomar davka v'ikrisha v'yadayim. That Tosos doesn't seem to be... Which would be based on this idea that it's a taina, that you did it yourself, you can't reap the benefits of your you know, destructive action. Yeah. Okay. That's the one I was talking about before. Hey, Megarea Kochto Karen, who misrab Mashish Baliapos. Right? What we said before, called over Shem Shalmin, Achisaron, Chain Mashma. Meal of Rain of Tom, Pierce Binion Acher, Dilagarea, Koacha Kefel, Kamarav, Kishasa Manabedim, Veloliapos. Well, why is that? But he's not asking Kasha from Mikisha.
It seems to be in the context of Kusha Vishmino.
Okay, that's because it's based on the question of Achia. You say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you really could say the Pshat, that's what I was referring to a minute ago. You really could say that the Pshat is Achia, de la Garea, Koacha Kefel, Ka'omarav, Beloli Apos. I don't see it as a question of, I don't see any problem of Mali Katala here. I think he's just saying what we said before, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, you could read Achia as referring always to higher keren than the kefo. But is that the value? Is that the mechayev that the kefo can never be more than the keren? Or is the point that you always want to lower the kefo? Or is the point that you always have to lower the kefo because there are always two shows chiyuv and you can't do better than the common denominator? I don't see any evidence there one way or another. Yeah.
For Ben Tam is saying a chiddush and kasa, so gulakula, is it possible to limit it to kefo and dal vehe because you're already going beyond?
I think so. I mean, bisvara, I think so. But again, that's a double if, but right, I do agree with you on that point. Okay, what about the Rambam? So before we get to Rashi, what about the Rambam? So the Rambam is very challenging. Right, if I have to ask you, Yehoshua, what is Shitas HaRambam? Hold like the Ri, hold like a Vader Tam, what would you say? What? Okay. One Yehoshua steps into.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Aleph Tes. I absolutely mean Aleph, not Tesvav, but I mean Aleph, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet. But we'll soon enough get to Tesvav. What is Tesvav, by the way?
Tesvav was what whether it's Inshamin or.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's Aleph Tesvav. We'll get to in a minute. But that doesn't help us for this halakha. So let's get to the other Yehoshua first. But we'll get back to you. I'm gonna get back to you when we get to all of that stuff.
No.
That's Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. It's a good thing. We have a tradition, like all the Yonis help each other out, all the Noahs help each other. It's good. Yeah, Yehoshua, go ahead.
So what's the
question
whether it was. What is Shita Rambam? Is he holding Kabbin in time? Is he holding. How does Rambam read Slack and Mikar Dom and Kanahashta? Before you look in. I'll let you look in one second. I'm just curious. If you had to characterize it, you wouldn't know. That's a good answer. Why? Because it's a little. Seems like it's complicated. Okay, but now if you could elaborate, what's complicated about it? Okay, read it quickly. You first said Gimel. Okay, stop. Does that seem to be in conformity with the Gemara?
No.
Yes, absolutely, right? That's what we said already in Samachei Yom and Aleph. Except that it's very fascinating that the Rambam spells out the cases of Kusha v'Yishmina and Shamein v'Krisha, even the Maskana, to say it on Samachei Yom and Aleph, where the Gemara was, you know, before the Gemara came up with Plek and Mikara Dam and Kedahashta, is one thing. To continue to cling to that formulation even after Tlek and Mikar Dam Kedahashta is a Chiddush. In other words, let me put it in perspective. According to the Re, right, who read Tlek and Mikar, who read Shmeina V'Krisha Kichesh V'Shmina as a Taina, let's say, on Samachei Yom and Aleph, but once you have Tlek and Mikar Dam Kedahashta, right, as he already foreshadows on Samach Hayim and Aleph and makes explicit on Samach Vavam and Aleph, that's no longer an accurate formulation of the halacha, right? Because it's been superseded by a more precise statement like Kedem Ikar Dam Kedahashta, in which there is no difference between Hishmina or Hikhisha or Niskachsha, Nishamna. Right? You say Nishamna? Anyways, correct? So already we're. What's that? Nispatma. Very good. That's better to say anyway, because the Gemara says it. Okay. Probably could say Nisham. Anyways. What?
Nishtamna?
No. Yeah? Oh, Alan said yeah. Okay. This is an area where I always concede. Okay. So already that's a little bit striking. Okay, go ahead. It raises our antenna to look out for what will happen if you only stop at the if you read the Rambam and you stopped here. What would you say if I said to you, what's the Rambam going to say about Nasa Mela, right, Nispatma or Niskaksha? What's it going to say? You would guess Shasa Mada Bedin. But what does the Rambam do? Go ahead. Okay, so leave the last line out for the moment. But what's the point? Ganav tlev v'nasa ayil egel v'nasa shor mishalim tashlume kefel kashas hakneva. Same halacha, right? It's tlek and mikara. Basically, the Rambam is saying. What? Well, here he doesn't say. Then the next halacha he says, "Tvacha ol mecharo, acha shehigdil nasa shinu biyado, v'kano." Shelo tovech, shelo mocher. It doesn't sound even like the Rambam. Does it sound like the Rambam is based on shinu kona?
Not for
klev and nasa. Even though it is shinu kona, but it sounds like the Rambam is saying three different halachos in this in halacha yud gimel. He's telling us about hishmina and ikhisha. Then he's telling us about Egel, about Tlev Nasa Ayel, right? Which is Nispatma. And then he's telling us about, by the way, it also happens to be Shini Kona, which affects Tvicho Mechira. One could have thought that the second halacha is also based on Shini Kona, but the Rambam does not say that. Okay. So if the Rambam holds Tlek, so the halacha of Tlev Nasa Ayel, Egel Nasa Shor, Nisham Tashon Kefal Kashas Hageneva, one would think is the Re. Right? Sounds like it. But then the question is, if you hold by the Re, why are you spelling out Pitma and Kiksha? Okay. So let's hold on to that for a moment. Then comes Halacha Yud Daled, which makes things a little more complicated even.
Uh,
So now the Rambam is relating to Yukra Vizula. It's very nice of the Rambam to have split up the halakos, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalid. One is talking about physical change, the other is talking about Yukra Vizula. Right? Very much in keeping, very parallel to the Re again. Doesn't sound like a wholesale Rabbeinu Tam, that's for sure. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't care whether physical change or Yukra Vizula. Right? So the Rambam is very nicely separating these halakhos, and now he's telling us that Yukra Vizula is Kashasa Mada Bedin. Good. Hayashava. So here it's especially complicated. We already made reference to this yesterday. Everybody has a problem with this Rambam, and that is, according to the Rambam, if the price goes up, but if the price goes down, it's shasa mada bedin. If the price goes up, so if it's tavra v'shasya, shasa mada bedin, and if it is idbar mimela, then shas ganeva, you'll pay the lower price. So the question is, what's going on there? A, why should tavra v'shasya impact on kefel? Right, that's the point that we made yesterday. It seems like the Rambam holds that Tavra Vashasya is a new Geneva. Okay, that we'll get back to, but that's the diuk that Achronim made based on this halakha. But more than that is, Itbar Mimela, if it goes, Itbar Mimela, if it goes up in price, it seems like you pay the lower price. What happened to Kefel Dal Vehei Kashas Hamad Bedin? That's a chiddush in the Rambam. So if you only had that alone, one might have said, oh, let me just take a step back. And is it based on Shinui Kona? Doesn't say. The case may be a case where there's a Shinui, but again, the Rambam doesn't say anything about Shinui Kona. Okay. So what is going on in the Rambam? So if you only had this halakha, maybe one could have said that, or one could have thought that it's Rabbeinu Tam. Itbar mimela, right? Shas Agneva is a lower price. Shas Hamad Bedin is a higher price. You pay the lower price. That's the rule. Take Tavra Shasi out of the equation for a moment, because Tavra Shasi is going to be a separate Gneva, right? So this is, you can't go back to the original Shas Gneva, because there's now a new Shas Gneva. So take the Tavra Vashasya case out of things. All, what is the Rambam describing? Rambam is saying, if the Itbar Mimela, if the price goes down, you pay the lower price. If the price goes up, you pay the original price. I mean the lower price. In both cases, you take the lower price. But that's what the Rambam is saying. So if that's what the Rambam is saying, who does that sound like? Rabbeinu Tam. Of course, so this is all a little anachronistic, obviously. Historically, we're not talking about the Rambam didn't know the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam didn't know the Re. But I'm talking about in terms of potential readings of the Sugya. Let's say the ones that we know of. So the point is, there are difficulties in the Rambam. In both halachos, he could have said Shinui Kona, but didn't. So it doesn't seem he's operating with Shinui Kona. In both halachos, there are problems. In halacha Yud Gimel, the problem is, why does he make mention Kusha v'Shmina, Shmeda v'Krisha separately, when afterwards he talks about change the Nimeila and it seems to be the same halacha? That's the problem in halacha Yud Gimel. Moreover, halacha Yud Gimel, at least the second part, sounds like the Re. Halacha Yud Dalet, the problem is, why in Itbar Mimela does it matter whether the price went up or down? After all, what about the rule of Kashas Hamada Bedin? It sounds a lot like Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. So what's the answer?
I just a question about why is it so difficult in your Gimel? Doesn't he have to stress the fact that one Shinoi makes Arba V'Chamisha like Kashas Ganeva, and one completely eliminates Shas Arba B'Chamisha? Meaning, in a Hanami, that it's true.
Well, Shinui, the degree of Shinui, the question whether you instigate the Shinui or it happens Mimela should have no impact, on the surface at least, on whether you're going to be Chayiv Dalad Vehei after the fact, whether Shalohu Mocher Shalohu Taveach.
But since that's going to be subsumed under the same halacha because according to the Ri, because they're both about Shinoyim.
Ri or Rambam? Or Rambam?
Meaning the Rambam as the Ri. The Rambam.
Well, again, the Ri doesn't require Shinoy for his halacha.
Or meaning Shinoy Haguf, meaning some
physical change, but short of Shinoy, it could even be.
Okay,
right.
But
that's the whole point of the Ri. On Samachay, it's explicit.
So then,
right, Malik Chasha, and Malik Atala, Kula Malik Atala Palga, and then it's implicit in Samach Bal Meralik as well. It doesn't need Shinoi Kone.
But, I mean, granting that it's Shinoi, he still has to point out the fact that there's going to be a difference between, on one, you're actually going to be Chayav Arba B'Chamisha, yet it's going to go, it's going to be Kashas Geneva, and in the other, Tala Nasa Ail, it's not even going to become, it's not even going to have Tala Dehei. Meaning he has to show
right,
that
may be, but that may or may not be. I mean, that's, I don't know what the halacha is. What about Khusha v'yashmina or shmina v'yikhisha, whether or not it's enough of a shinui to affect Dalet v'hei or not, and halacha yud gimel, I don't know. I really don't know.
Look,
it could be that it isn't. It could be that it is. Let's say it isn't. Let's say it's not enough of a shinui, and the second case is.
So then that's why he has to bring both, meaning the second rule... We'll
but these are two different dinim. One is whether you're chayiv for tzvicha mechira after the fact. The other is a more basic question that Rambam is really dealing with here in halacha yud gimel and yud dalid, which is how do you calculate payments of kefal and dalid v'hei. I hear what you're saying. You're saying he brought the reason that he mentions halacha. This reason that he separates the two cases because of the continuation, the third halacha on halacha yud gimel. I'm just saying the third halacha on halacha yud gimel is thrown in. The real halacha of Yud Gimel, the real halacha that's being addressed in Yud Gimel and in Yud Dalid, is the question of Tzlaka Demikar Dami Kedahashta. If it just so happens that this is enough of a shinui and there's not going to be a chiv tzvicha mechira after the fact anyway, it's, you know, it's like parentheses. It's hard to say that the Rambam broke up the halacha of the main halacha that he's dealing with, which is dealing with Tzlaka Demikar Dami Kedahashta, because of the parentheses. That's all I'm saying. I hear what you're saying. I think it's a good effort. I don't really buy it for that reason. Mm-hmm. But I hear what you're saying.
And could we say that the Rambam is putting them on a certain scale, meaning that they're the degrees of Shinoi?
I think that you could say, and I'll try to explain it in just a second. Maybe that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the point is maybe that's why where the continuity comes in. Maybe what the Rambam is saying is as follows. Oh, somebody want to make a suggestion before I... Austin, you want to make a suggestion? Then I can, if you say the same, if we say the same thing, I can say Baruch Shekivanti. Okay, it's up to you. Okay, yeah.
Could it be that Rambam doesn't need to mention Shinoi when Halacha Yud Bet is introduced to Shinoi? Doesn't really give and then he's furnishing examples.
Yeah, but he's talking about something else. There he's talking about Kinan Shevach. Again, I'm just saying it. The focus of Halacha Yud Gimel is not Shinoi. The focus of Halacha Yud Gimel is Yukra Bezula, is the impact on Kefal V'Dalad V'Hei. That's all I'm saying. Right, and it's strange that he divides it up. I mean, the Gemara. It's basically
strange,
the Rambam is reading the Gemara. It sounds like the Rambam is saying, unlike the Ri. This is really what I'm trying to contrast it with. The reread the Gemara on Amud Aleph, Samach Amud Aleph, and then he read the Gemara in Samach Amud Beis, and then he read the Gemara in Samach Vav Amud Aleph, just like we did yesterday. Right? We chopped it up. We took out all the other sections, the Chomesh and the Kefa. We took all that out for the moment, and he just read what are all the relevant Gemaras about Kefal Dalad Behei Kishas Amud Bedit, but he read them together. And he came to the conclusion that the Gemara had a Havamina, right, about physical change. The Gemara was back and forth. You know, physical change, your kabazula, they're the same, they're different. This is a taina, this is a shiur, the shiur and siruf, the gneva, what's going on here? And we said, oh, these are the havaminas. When the Gemara says, that supersedes everything, that's a new rule. All I'm trying to show, and if this alone is true, then you know that in itself is sufficient, is that the Rambam seemingly did not read the Gemara that way. Either did Rabbeinu Tam, a little bit. At least on Malikatala Kula, Malikatala Palga, for Rabbeinu Tam, that remains an independent factor, despite the rule of Kleken Mikaradam Mikadahashta. It's not superseded. Right. What I want to point out is that the Rambam, two things I want to point out in the Rambam. Number one, the Rambam sounds like the Re in part, and he sounds like Rabbeinu Tam in part. That's point A. And number two, the Rambam didn't think that Kleken Mikaradam Mikadahashta superseded completely the other two formulations of the Gemara. Okay. Why is that so? That's the Ha'ara. Okay. In terms of reading how the Rambam read the Gemara. It sounds like these are significant independently. Okay. Now, why should that be so? So I'm just going to make the following quick suggestion. Okay. Number one, I think that the Rambam, in a way, really did combine the best of the Re and Rabbeinu Tam. They're really not mutually exclusive. Maybe one could say Rabbeinu Tam on a damim level more easily than on a kla level. Because the Re is right about one point, and that is, or let me say it this way, the Rabbeinu Tam could have been a qualification within the Re, and I think partially you find that in the Rambam. Meaning, the Chefetz HaGanuv is indispensable. I mean, that's, you know, imein gneva in kefal, imein gneva in dalad behei. And all this means that, you know, you just can't ignore the chevetz haganuv. The size of the animal always is koveya. However, as far as the second halacha is concerned, so the Re says, that's one halacha, it's like an ikar, damim kidahashta. That means Shas Hamad Abedin, because that's the time when the Kepel, when the Knas is created, or that's the Zman Hashuma, whatever the case may be. But couldn't you theoretically say Kle Kedemikara, right? Turi Gan Viminach, Zidichra Gan Viminach, right? The main Gneva and Kepel, the main Dal Dehe. You can make that time up. And you could still say, however, as far as Yukra Vazula is concerned, there are two shows, chiyuv, or there's a halacha that the kefal is never going to be more than the keren. I think that's what emerges in the Rambam. Physical changes, tlaik and mikara. Monetary changes, I don't know if we're mekil, I don't think it's a din that we're mekil so much. Maybe we're mekil, or maybe the point by putting them all together is you can't pay more for the kefel than you're paying for the karen. Achila karen kein shagana. So that's a combination of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Re. That's point number one. I think point number two is as follows. So why does the Rambam need the taina, etc.? So I think it could be for maybe one of two points. Either the Rambam, let's follow up on Michael's suggestion, which is, maybe Ganav Khusha Vishmino Shmenovi Khisha is not a Shinui. But Ganav Klevanas Ail Ego Vanasa Shar is a Shinui. Now it could be that the Rambam doesn't require the Shinui Kone for this halacha. That's why he doesn't say it. And it seems to me like he's not working with it. It's not like Tosus' view of Malikatala. Or like that view in the Gemara in Samechei Amid Beis, that Shinui Kone is really Koveya. Or like the Rosh says explicitly for the Rif, that Shinui Kone will be Koveya for Kefo. That's not the point in the Rambam. But maybe the point in the Rambam is that if unless you have something that is the equivalent of Shinui Kone, of Shinui which would be Kone, that kind of Shinui, the kind of Shinui which will render Shalom Taver, Shalom Mocher, then we maybe shouldn't say Tura Ganva Minach, Dichra Ganva Minach either. As we explained a little bit yesterday, Tosfos Bet Parrot, which I'll get back to in a second. In other words, I hold like the Ri, says the Rambam, again anachronistically, but only when it's really a break in the Tziruv. But Hikisha or Hishmina, which maybe isn't enough of a break in the Tziruv, that's only going to be effective from another point of view. And that is Anapatimna, or Malikatala Kula, Malikatala Palga. It's only if you really have a physical change that's significant enough for the Mandamar Shunikona to say Shunikona, that I'll say it's not the Chepetz HaGanuv. So Ikhisha or Hishmina is the Chepetz HaGanuv, and therefore you need the reasoning of Anapatimna or Malikatala. So all the lines in the Gemara are good. I think that's one possibility. An adjustment on this. It's the same basic idea, but maybe an adjustment just in case Michael's diuk is not correct. Let's say Hishmina and Ikhisha are every bit as much of a shinui as Ego v'nasa tla, as Tle v'nasa Ego or Nasa Ayel. Right? However, maybe the point is as follows. If it happens on its own, the Rambam is saying, so then, turigon v'minach, dichragon v'minach. Meaning if naturally the change takes place, that breaks the continuity for Kefal and Dal Be. But even if physically there's as much of a shinui, but it's something that I had to initiate, right? That doesn't break the continuity to the Geneva, because it's not a natural break. It only happened because I forced it upon the animal. Maybe that doesn't qualify for, what do you mean? Tura gan v'minach, dichra gan v'minach. Not really. This would still be dichra gan v'minach, but for your interference. So from that point of view, the principle of emein gneiva in tzvicha mechira, emein gneiva in kefel, doesn't apply. Maybe it doesn't depend on objectively how different it is, but whether this change is a natural or an artificial one. Right. Yeah. Absolutely, and we'll in terms of shinui kone in particular, let me say it this way. In terms of shinui kone as a kinyan, I would for sure always say the opposite given the choice. And we'll see that. Namely, whether or not maybe a natural shinui is less than an artificial one. Both as a shinui and in terms of being a kinyan as well. But what I'm suggesting here is that we don't need shuni kone. So the real issue is about the continuity between what was and what is. So what I'm saying is if that continuity was broken artificially, then maybe it's not a problem. On some level, this would still have been, had you not interfered, the Chepetz HaGanuv. But in terms of Shinikoni, you're absolutely right. And maybe even in terms of defining something as a Shinui, you're right. But here, I'm not interested in its objective definition, Shinui. I'm interested in whether Shinui breaks the Tziruv between Geneva and Kefel Dalbe. Okay, that's a suggestion for the Rambam. So just to sum up, I think that there are indications in the Rambam of the Ri and of Rabbeinu Tam. Per se, I think that works actually fine and good, because I think that the Ri on the Damin Kedahashta part could have said, just like Rabbeinu Tam could have said that part of the Ri of Tlekin Mikara, Imein Gneva in Tvicho Mechira. And the Ri, instead of saying Kefal Kashas Amad Abedin, Zman Shinui, Svara, Ein Kra, etc., he could have just said, you know, that when it comes to assessment, you know, we have to be makel for one of these three reasons that we said for Rabbeinu Tam. In the Rambam, I think you have it. That's exactly what you have. As for the other point, why does the Rambam break up Onapatimna, Mali Katala Kula, Mali Katala Palga, and Plevenasa Ayol? So that I'm suggesting one basic suggestion, just with two wrinkles. And that is that the Rambam holds that there are two different dinim here. The Ri is right, just like we're qualifying the Ri on the Damim, we should also qualify the Ri on the difference between artificial and natural changes. Either the difference between artificial and natural change, or the difference between a sufficient change for Shinui Kona, as opposed to one which degrades maybe the status or the value of the object, but one which doesn't qualify yet for Shinui Kona. Yeah.
Would you be able to explain the distinction just to say that it's one case is a case of Shinui Shame, where this creature of Shinui is only Shinui Haku, and therefore it's not enough to break
I mean, the same idea that we're saying, but
right.
Distinction is Shinui Hashem.
In
the sense that Shinui Hashem, I think that may be correct. I mean, I just don't want to. We'll get to when we get to the Shinui, but in the sense that we would just be saying that Shinui Hashem is more of a break in Siruf than Shinui Maisa is, in that respect. In general, in other words, instead of saying it's artificial, natural, you're saying it's the difference between. Right. Those two may be for the same reason, though. I mean, that distinction. I mean, that's a general question. What is the relation between Shinui Hashem and Shinui Maisa? And there's a famous Ramban in Gozel Machil. The Ramban says that the Yisod of Shinui Maisa is Shinui Hashem. Whereas, you know, the Baalei Tosfos really thought the opposite. There's something called Shinui Maisa, and maybe Shinui Hashem is also a Shinui. But the Ramban's idea of change in identity is, you know, maybe you can get that through an artificial action as well. But essentially, what you are. You're crystallizing the chilukim that we made, but you're just saying it in a sharp way, which may be true.
If I understand correctly, the question is not necessarily a question of whether or not there's activity that you do something actively or not, but
just the same. Shinui Maisa, sometimes it's Shinui Maisa that's natural.
If I understand correctly, it wasn't that. It was the question of Shemena of the Chishuv versus I of the
Flat.
Meaning, regardless of whether or not it was done by you or if it was done by itself,
right.
The point is that.
One is quantitative and one is qualitative.
Yeah, right. It's the same animals. Whether or not it's better, or thinner, but this is a different.
It could draw the line at any point.
It's not the same, right?
Again, let me explain. For what I want to get out of this chiluk, it doesn't really matter. In other words, whether the difference is artificial or natural, Shinui Hashem or Shinui Maisa, difference in quantity or difference in quality. Right. In the end of the day, the main point here is. That we are qualifying the Ri. We're saying the Ri's halacha is not, I mean, this is all a qualification in the concept of Tura Ganva Minach, Dichra Ganva Minach. I agree, there are different, I think in Shinui itself it'll make a difference. In the Rambam here, which of these points we zero in on?
The question is what qualifies for that statement.
I mean, there could be halachic nafkamina in the future. Right. In other words, if you have this case and that case, and there are three ways to explain the difference, there always can be an afkamina.
Yeah.
100%. But conceptually, it's all the same. If this is true, if what I'm saying is true, which is that the Rambam is some sort of combination between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, and that he is qualifying both Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri in a significant way, that's why he needs Anapatimna, that's why he needs Malik Katala, then where you draw the line in this is still... It can be explained in a different way. I agree. Okay. Now, there is another way to read the Rambam, and that's why I think Reb Chaim read the Rambam. And that is, Reb Chaim read the Rambam in Halacha Yadalid. The way I'm reading the Rambam, which is that this is, you know, like in the direction at least of Rabbeinu Tam, I believe, I just didn't get a chance to check it last night, but I think I saw something similar to that in the Bach on the tour. That he explains the Rambam that you can't that the kefil cannot be higher than the keren, right, in Rabbeinu Tam terms. But he doesn't then point out that well halachi yud gimel is the ri, halachi yud dalet is Rabbeinu Tam. How does that work, etc. These other points I don't think exist in the Bab. I think that ha'ara that the difference between itbar mimela when it goes up and when it goes down is the relative price vis-a-vis the keren or the kula and the chumra, the price. I think that the Bach and the tour. Says that as well. Reb Chaim didn't understand it that way. Reb Chaim understood that the issue is kiloi habe'en. I don't think shinui kone, mind you. Again, I think it is meduyak that the Ram only introduces shinui kone for that one halacha of tavach u'machar. He doesn't introduce it in halacha yadalet, and he doesn't speak about it in halacha yigimel. Although, Elichai's point is something to consider. And that is that he had been talking about Shinui Kona earlier. Okay. Reb Chaim's point was, Itbar Mimela cuts off Shas Hamada B'din. And then you could say there's no longer a Chetat HaGanuv anymore. And if there's no Chetat HaGanuv, then you always have to go back to Shas HaGneiva. But it doesn't explain the difference between the Kula and the Chumra. So that, I still think you need our suggestion. Okay, well, we'll get back to the Rambam. We talk about Tavra, Tavra Deshasa. Now let's move to Rashi. So Rashi Shita is maybe the most intriguing of these. So far we have Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri, the Rambam. Each one has its own special challenges. Right. Rashi, as we already explained, poses another problem. What problem, Aaron? One more time.
Rashi seems to say that all that matters is what you use to pay.
The method of payment dictates
how much
the amount of payment. That's totally different than anything we've seen till now. Because again, the Ri was splitting up between, you know, identifying the chafza or the type of chafza and the value of the chafza. Rabbeinu Tam was talking about everything in evaluation, because size, for him, identifying the cheft is irrelevant. You know, he doesn't believe in this application to say, imein gneva in tviyachum b'chira. Nah, doesn't make a difference. Okay. Rambam also had both of those elements. But Rashi is being mechadesh. How you pay will determine how much you pay. The mode of payment dictates the quantity of payment. That is straight. That's always strange. And that's highlighted by Rabbi Yishaya's question. Who in their right mind, if they can choose the amount by choosing a mode, who in their right mind is going to pay more? Which, as we pointed out already, is a practical question, a good practical question, but it's not something to lose much sleep over. Okay. Tosis Rid's question is more to the point. If the mode of payment dictates the amount of payment, then why not just pay him in cash and tell him to go out and, you know, on me, buy the convert the cash into the kind, payment in kind, and then you'll have your payment in kind. Right. The answer is that, of course, defies the whole purpose of this. Right. Namely, it isn't a pragmatic halacha at all. The point is, what are you addressing here? And that's what we already tried to explain. So what Rashi really highlights is that even on a kefa level, you basically can choose to address two things. You can choose to address the be'en and to try to replicate it, or you can go the route of tashlumin. So that idea, of course, is very important. One would have thought that even if that concept exists, maybe it should be limited to Karen. Right? Kamash Malan, even Kefal has this halacha. And why should Kefal have this halacha? Oh, again, for the same reason that we've seen already, a number of different contexts, that Kefal is specially connected to the Be'en. The Be'en may be what makes Gneva as opposed to Gzela unique. Right? And the Mechayiv, and the Davar Mesuyam, and the other Havaminas, it's all about the Be'en. So while, on the one hand, you're not talking about the actual Be'en, because you're talking about Kefel, on the other hand, the Mechayiv of Kefel, to begin with, is about the role of the Be'en in the Ma'isa Gneva. So, duplicating, replicating the Be'en isn't such a terrible... it's not such a terribly huge leap when you think about it more. Yeah?
Would it be allowed to give an ILF?
What do you mean allowed to?
Instead of Ganav Tleh, then that's an ILF, and right. He wants to give back an ILF. Not the money for an ILF, and not a Tleh. He wants to give back an ILF.
Well, you don't have, I mean, it's Lefnin, Mishura, Sanin. It may not be KFL, but it's more than KFL.
All right. I would think.
I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, this would have a chalos shame because it's an animal. It's in kind.
It seems that the... I don't know. I was
I think it's an interesting question, actually.
Yeah, because the rationale to give back in flat.
Right. What you're asking highlights the problem with Rashi. The problem with Rashi is, im kvar, you're talking about payment in kind because you're talking about, you know, replacing or duplicating and replicating. So why should that be dependent upon the Shas HaGneva particularly? Or more to the point, why should it depend on the value of the object, Shas HaGneva, if it is? Although I added those words, if it is, advisedly. So I think your point is well taken, and I'll get back to it in a second. Just hold off for a minute. But we'll get back to that in a second. So just let me get the background of this first. The background is the Gemara on Samak Zayin Omid Beis. Right? What does the Gemara say there? Zach? Gemara on Samak Zayin Omid Beis? Okay, good. You take a shore, it's worth $100, let's say.
You're not allowed to return the Gidim.
The Gidim, which are? What?
They're close to death.
Yeah, in other words, they're not worth $100 a piece. You're not going to give five of those or double of that. You're going to give back something, an animal. Right? It walks, it talks, you know, it does whatever an animal does. But it's not worth the same amount of money. This is a healthy, right? Animal. The other one is starving. So what kind of havamina is that? And how do we know that? Oh, tachta. We need Xeris HaKasav to teach us that. Why would anybody think that you could pay kefel with a cheaper shore? Strange havamina, right? So what do we see from the havamina? Well, what's a monetary issue?
As long as you return right now, it doesn't matter what.
But it's not. No, we're talking about the opposite. It's a discrepancy in price. Hey, Negidim. Now, you're going to pay, instead of saying, hey, Shvarim, Shlemim, Briim, you're going to pay back, hey, Negidim. Instead of... What?
You always have Shavikasa.
This is not Shabbat.
No, I'm saying you're right.
Right. So I mean that's a strange avamina. It's not you're saying it. The question isn't what. Right. I see what you're saying. I mean, it's not that you can pay in the Gidim and you don't have to give Briim, but you have to give the same amount of money. The avamina is
Why can't you say the avamina is that it's the same value? It started out as a much higher value, but it's just not healthy. It started as $1,000 cow, and now it's only $150. The one you sold is only $100 also.
And that's, I think it's not the Pshat of the Gemara.
They're not discussing the vein, they're discussing the 4-5. So they're discussing the 4-5, right? So what would it matter that the animal has, the animal itself has...
The animal is worth the simple reading of the Gemara, the animal is worth $100. Now you're going to get back five animals that are worth $20 each. The Gemara says you can't do that. But why would you think that you could do that? The only reason you would think that you could do that is because you are making two huge assumptions. One is that you are basically replacing or duplicating or replicating the animal. And therefore, if it's an animal, it's an animal. You're assuming two things. A, that, and B, that price or physical condition is not a sine qua non of replicating or duplicating. If you challenge either of these assumptions, either if you say that Kefel and Dal Dehe are not about replication or duplication of the Ben, they're about Tashlumin, and then this whole thing doesn't get off the ground. Or if you say, you know what, it is still about duplication. The Havamina wasn't so bad. Tachtav. Tachtav has two meanings. It is Tachtav. But the Tachtav should be Tachtav, meaning... there can't be such a financial discrepancy. You're not replicating or duplicating by giving five animals. You're replicating and duplicating by giving five comparable animals. Right? So now the question is, which of these two assumptions, or both, being challenged? So I think the majority of Rishonim are of the opinion that how you pay, right, is irrelevant to the price that you pay. And therefore, the very Havamina itself is being rejected. It's a tchi of tashlumin. Or, if you want to say that there is some notion of duplication or replication, but it's all pure financial. And that's what the majority of Rishonim will say. Rashi, I think, read the Gemara in a different way. Rashi was impressed with the Havamina more than the Maskana. I said, wow, why would anybody think that you could give back 5 Negidim instead of giving back 5 Shvarim? That is very strange. Apparently, the Havamina really is based on this idea that, you know, you're replacing the animal, you're duplicating the animal. And then the Gemara says, however, it's got to be tachtav. It's got to be an approximate... it's not duplication of the ban either if one is Negidim and the other are Shmeinim. Oh. So now, what is the Torah bin Mechadesh with tachtav? That finances, that money... also plays a role in tachtav, in duplication and replication. That's what Rashi says. If you want to go the tashlumim route, damim kedahashta. If you want to actually replace the animal fivefold, duplicate or replicate the animal, then tleh kedemikara. But now the question is one important question here. Is Rashi's halacha, and that's the answer to Tosfos Rin the Ben Yishayah. We don't care how practical it is. And the whole point is that when you go the route of kind as opposed to money, right, you're trying to accomplish a different thing entirely. If I give him the money, I say, you know, go buy yourself, you know, the best tleh on the market. The whole point is you're not replicating or duplicating. You're paying. That's compensation, not substitution. By the way, this idea appears in other contexts. I'll just give you one famous one because we're going to speak about it soon anyway. That is Reb Chaim. Which one?
About karkos.
About
karkos.
Dvei karka. Reb Chaim speaks about this in Uchos Toin Benitan. Very good. Where he talks about the difference between mazik and chabal. When do we say dvei karka? Kekarka, let's say Inish Boimala Karkos, things of that sort. Dme karka kekarka. Let's say you damaged a property and you're paying back. But when do you say Dme karka kekarka? When do you say no? Tashlumin is Tashlumin, it's always metalpi. So Reb Chaim's Mechalek between Reb Chaim explains the Rambam. The Rambam's Mechalek between Chabala and Nezek. Reb Chaim tries to explain that Dme karka kekarka is an idea. When you're trying to, you know, replace or substitute, you know, you're trying to recreate, you know, the loss. When you're trying to just pay for it, compensate, then to make karka is not kakarka, it's damim. An important nafkamina. In that context, although, I mean, the Raivid, I mean, some of the Nosa Kalim suggests, well, maybe it depends if you pay back karka or you actually pay back damim. Similar to this Rashi. Maybe how you address them. Maybe there are two ways to, in some chiyuvim, to relate. Either you can undo, try to undo, right? Or you can compensate. Maybe that's determined by what you give back, your method of payment. It's not shava kesef when you pay back with a be'en. When you pay back with a be'en, it is replacement, turning back the clock, etc. I think that's the idea in Rashi. But there's one question to be asked in Rashi, just one more second, then I'll take your questions, and that is as follows. Rashi said his halacha only in physical changes or also in financial changes? As the case that we know of in Rashi is klekin mikar dam kenahashta, is if you pay back, and that's what happens. You have a kleh, and then it's nasa ayah. So it went up in value, but the reason it went up in value is because it's now changed physically. So the idea is you can pay kefel Dalet Vehei, like it was at the moment of the Geneva. If you're going to pay him Kefil Dalet Vehei, it'll be Kedahashtra, you'll pay the higher price. We'll say, well, now the animal that you stole is presently worth $100. I, B'Shas Geneva, it was worth $10 because then it was smaller before its natural growth. Doesn't matter. You want to pay? You have to pay $100 Kefil, $500, $400, $500 Dalet Vehei. But if you're going to go the route of Kla, if you go to your, you know, local cattle guy and you get a couple of Kla's, right? So then you can actually, you can give him five or one Kla, which is worth $10 a Kla. That is what we know Rashi says. That's an unbelievable Kiddush. But what happens if it's a change in Yukar Vizula according to Rashi? Let's say the price goes up or the price goes down. Will he also say Kla can be Karadam Kedahashna? We just don't know, and it seems like the Rishonim weren't so sure about it, and the Achronim weren't so sure about it either. If you limit Rashi to physical changes, I think it's very important to link it to the Havamina of the Gemara, and to say, well, Takta means how you pay, but also there has to be a link to the Chepet HaGonuv B'Shas HaGneva monetarily as well. Fine. But if you don't limit Rashi to that case, and you say Rashi applies even to Yukar Vizula, so think what can happen here. Let's say we're talking about Nisyakir. Right? Let's say the same animal, still a Tle, didn't have its growth spurt yet, still a Tle, but Tles are in greater demand now. Supply and demand. So now the Tle is worth $100. Previously it was worth $10. So according to Rashi, what are we saying? Tle kedemi kara? I mean, you could pay negidim? That would really be the Havamina of the Gemara. Except that it would be... Meaning...
You're giving a Tle, I'm saying... How are you
or you give less?
How are you saving money? You're saying
The Tle used to be worth $10.
So
Tle kedemi kara.
So if you give him a tle, you're giving.
That's what I'm saying. You only have to give a $10 tle. Let's say you have to give $50 for the arba b'chamis, or $40 or $50.
Like a smaller
tle. Right. In the range of a skinny tle, a negidim tle, on the verge of death tle. With hyphens and all those words. Right. So that would actually be the Havamina of the Gemara revisited. You'd actually be paying negidim, except the difference would be. In the Gemara, it's not a case of kedemi kara. It's, you know, the tle is worth $10 at the Geneva. The tle is worth $100 at the Geneva. The tle is worth $100 kashasa mada bedin. You want to get away with giving him a $10 tle for kefel or $50, $10 tles for arba v'chamisha. You can't do that. It says tachta. But as long as there's a tachta, there's a correspondence to the financial value at Kamikara, in Akanami, we're back to that Havamin. You can actually pay Negidim. That would be a huge Chiddush. Or in the opposite direction. Does Rashi say this about Yukra Bezula? Let's say the price goes down. So the price goes down, but you have to pay Kedemikara. So meaning what? Now you can, instead of giving him a Tle, a very healthy Tle. You have to get him the Rolls Royce of Tles. Because it used to be worth $10 and now it's worth $100. No, what did I just say? It went down in price. No, it used to be worth $10, now it's worth $1. So you have to pay either $10 for Kefel or $50 for Dalet Vehei. Wow. So what happens then? This is related to Yoshua's question of before. Yoshua asked before. Let's say the guy gave an ayil. He only has to give a tle. Let's say he gave an ayil. Would that be the chefta shel kefel? I'm not sure in my nafkamina, as opposed to saying it isn't, but you're just giving him an extra present. Not sure. But I think it's an interesting theoretical question. That's why I said hold off. I meant hold off till right now. Okay. Meaning, are we saying it's the physical object, the similar physical similarity to the object, Bashatskineva, but you just cannot ignore the price of that object too? That's all we rejected in the Gemara about Nikidin. Or are we saying more than that? Are we saying, according to Rashi, and this is, not only is it ironic because you bring back the Gemara of Megiddim in a way, but it's also ironic conceptually and logically, meaning we're talking about paying, replicating, or substituting, and therefore, so the Gemara had one wild Havamina, which was anything on four legs that breathes and gives milk is a substitute. Quality in the world of Hashavas, you know, of Kefel Hakpalas Abe'en doesn't exist. That was the Havamina of Negida. Meaning, we don't, not that suggests that there's this duplication and replication. Duplication and replication can be completely divorced from the quality. That was a Havamina. So is Rashi saying, and the Maskana is what? If the maskana is limited to physical change cases, plekanimi kardam kanahashta, we're saying Rashi says no, there is the idea of duplication, replication, but in addition to the fact that it has 4 feet and gives milk and makes whatever sounds this animal makes, right? The quality has to be similar financially. But if you go further and you say that it applies to Yukur Vizula as well, so then what we're saying is it's duplication and replication. And that's why choosing to pay in kind as opposed to paying in money makes a difference in how much you'll pay. However, the Gemara didn't just qualify. The Gemara went 180 degrees. The Gemara said, basically, what we care about is the finance. You stole a tleh, but we really don't care about the tleh. What we really care about is you stole a $30 animal. Either $30 animal you stole was teeny, and now the one that you're paying back is huge. Doesn't matter. We totally define the replication of the Be'en in terms of the money. If Rashi meant Klekadabikar Dam Kadahashta for Yukra Mazula as well, that's how it would come out. There was a question. Yeah. I think you had a question first. Go ahead.
The way you're explaining it, is this the parallel to the question raised by the Zrid and the Rashi?
Yes. In a way, absolutely.
But it can't simply be that because the question here involves two shas human. It's not just a question. You know, that were simply the question, and the question would be, you know, even if you're paying with even the shashlumin, so what difference should that make whether or not you're related to the initial maisa or the later maisa, the later machai?
I'm not suggesting
the question by Karen was not whether or not. You know, the question was clearly the question there wasn't whether or not you're machai in the shas maisa. Either way, you're relating to the
Shas Maaseh, to the Maaseh Kineva. I'm only paralleling it in the sense that we see already from the world of Karen that you can either relate to Tashlumin or you can relate to the Be'en. When you relate to the Be'en, it could be that is a new Mechayev of Tashlumin, or the Tashlumin is itself a substitute for the Be'en. In that sense, I'm drawing a parallel. But of course, the way that you apply this in the Be'en is going to be different than Kefil for very obvious reasons. And that is because Karen is about the actual Hefsed. And Kefel and Dalad Dehei, in both directions, you have the luxury of looking at it differently because it's all supererogatory. It's all beyond the amount. So, of course, it's going to be different.
Well, I mean, I think the way one can understand it is very simply is that the question hinges on the fact that there are two. The issue hinges on the fact that in regard to Kefel, unlike Karen, right, there are really two potential Mechayim. There's the Maisel Kicha, and then there's the Hachzakas Abein, or Hachzakas Hashomim. And the question, and so the question is, well, which one are you to be paying back? So the chiddush of Rashi would be that if you were to replace the Be'en So that's al kochino. That's really dealing with the that's relating to a reversing, relating to the ma'aseh geneva. Whereas if you're going to pick the shlumin, so then already we have an alternate chiyuv.
Except I hear that you might say that, but I don't know why it's more compelling to assume that the be'en is mishas geneva and the tashlumin is mishas. You know, the continued hakzaka sacheva. It's misvara, one could have said exactly the opposite.
No, I'm saying
right? You could have said that as long as the ben exists, so then the relating to the ben is dafka, you know, at the later point, the kshas hamad b'din. And the chiv tashlumin, of course, that's the moment when you took money out of his account, so that's frozen at that particular moment in time. So I think
the idea is that there's no such thing as really reversing the vice hakzakas of the end. There's an idea of reversing the...
I'm not so sure that should be correct. But in the end, again, I think it depends. It could be whatever you're more comfortable with. If you're more comfortable saying it that way, it's fine. Again, it's the same hour as before. It doesn't really matter so much. Misvara, if somebody woke me up in the middle of the night and they said, the be'en shas chiyuv is when, and the tashlumin shas chiyuv is when, I would have said the opposite. I would have said, the longer you hold on to the kepetz, as you're holding on to the kepetz, it's all about the be'en. The tashlumin, that's immediately.
That's just, right. I mean,
and I think that's true. It's just a reisha chalapanecha.
I'm saying it's not the opposite of that. What I'm saying is
I understand. But what I'm saying, either way, once that's true, so it becomes an open question what you're more comfortable with. And so, is it the delayed zmane chiyuv, which is what you want to add to all of this? I mean, the zmanim of the chiyuv be'en and tashlumin are different? Or is it simply
the
either way, the basic approach in Rashi, whatever you're more comfortable with. The basic idea, which is that Rashi is operating here on a kefel del dehe level, he's operating on a replacement of the ban, that I think is clear. Otherwise, the fact that you pay in kind, that you can't just say, is it tashlumin for the ban, or for the hachzakas of ban, or for the ma'isa geneva? Because then the fact that you pay in kind is irrelevant. The payment in kind can only be significant if, in addition to when or for what you are paying, there is also the notion of what the significance of this payment
right,
is. And that I think you have to say.
No, that I agree, but the way we would say it is that there's a certain, that really, you know, really the mechayim of the shas lekicha really could be either way, except that when you're relating to it, when you're returning as a be'en, that's really the more sort of direct reversal of that.
But if it goes back to the shas geneva.
Yeah, akrafeinu, you're relating to the ma'aseh
geneva. I would agree with that too.
Versus the
I don't know if it reverses, but at least it relates more to that. Right.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Okay. So this is, I think, the pshat in Rashi, and I think it's an important question. Again, Rabbeinu Peretz does seem to want to limit Rashi only to physical change, so I think it's easier in Rashi. If we go further with some of the questions asked against Rashi, to the Yukavizula, then I think it's very ironic and much more challenging. Yeah.
Is it fair to say that on Sinai's line, saying that it's more general, like the Yid of Nigidin is more, it's like a general thing teaching us about value, not, maybe it's just limited to Nigidin. I mean, like Rashi goes out of it, it's karma, it's a very extreme case. Maybe value doesn't matter so much, but it can't be something that's about to die.
I don't think. I mean, where do you draw the line? You know what I mean?
Right. But I'm thinking, how limited do you view that?
If somebody says that, I'd like to see
Rashi.
What?
How limited do you view that?
No, I think Rashi's trying to build up. I mean, the Gemara says Negidim. Right? It doesn't just say, you know, there's a discrepancy in price. The Gemara's Havamina is even more striking that way. You're saying, oh, the Maskana, you know, if it's within a price range, you know. I think Halacha Lemaisa, you may have a point in one thing, and that is, let's say something belonged to a, and this is kind of a bit of a takeoff on Yoshua's aura, which is, let's say you had something which the value was different. Let's say it's a little bigger, a little smaller, but this is a pla, that's a pla. It's not negidim. They're both shmeinim, but they're not perfectly exactly. This difference is $10. Does that matter? Does it have to be exact? I can live in Rashi with the idea that if you're not talking about money, you're talking about compensation, so within a certain physical range, that might be fine.
Right, so I'm saying that maybe how limited...
But I don't think that you have to go all the way to Negidim to get, to...
No, just...
If we're talking about Tlev, Ayel, that's plenty too.
Right. How limited do you do that, Mia, Ushev, and how limited do you do Rashi?
Maybe. Either way, what I'm suggesting is that most Rishonim probably thought that this ends up being about money for either, even if it's duplication, replication, it ends up being the Torah's an exact tashlumin. And what I'm saying is Rashi read that Gemara's Maskana. Rashi was more impressed, continued to be impressed with the Havamina even after the Maskana. That I'm sure of. Where exactly we draw the line in that, even within Rashi, so does it have to be perfectly financially balanced and aligned? Or, you know, just can't be Negidim and whatever, and or probably Tle and Ayel, it can't be. Clearly can't be Tle and Ayel either. But what about Tle, you know, Tle plus and Tle minus, Ayel plus and Ayel minus? I think that could be an important Nafkimina. As I say, I think Yoshua's point before is also an interesting one, in that if a person chooses to give more, but he gives a Be'en, I can conceive that according to Rashi, that might be Chalos Kefel or Chalos Dal. I'm not sure, Lamai Nafkimina, as opposed to saying the Kefel's there and he's also adding on willingly. But if there is a difference, Modish Kanas Labanim, I don't know, whatever difference there might be, because if the idea is that kind, payment in kind, for the same reason that your point is, maybe we don't have to be exactly, it can be within a range. So too, if you choose to address the Be'en question more, not less, but to view that as a Be'en, maybe I'll pidin, that's Koveya. Maybe. I don't know. I think a lot of practical questions outstanding in Rashi, but I think of the concept of Rashi is really very important. Yeah?
It's a little confused. Rashi, there is a suggestion that Rashi is basing his two ideas on the Gemara and the Negidim.
On the Havamin of the Negidim. And understanding that the Maskana is...
The Maskana of the Gemara there is that if you want to pay back animals, you still do have to pay back the animals with a certain mind's price as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the point.
So in the idea of Tzlam Gizmei Kara...
This case is different than that case in that there is now, that the Gemara there isn't talking about a discrepancy that took place between the Shas HaGneva and the Shas HaTashlumin. The Gemara there is presumably talking about a case where the value remains static from the Gneva till the Tashlumin. Rashi is now saying, however, if there is a Tziruf to the Chepetz HaGonuv as it was B'Shas Gneva, even though now the price has changed, and even though had you paid money now, we would care about the present and not about the past, that's where this re-echoes.
So what I don't understand is that why, if we agree that the evaluation on...
It is an evaluation, it's an evaluation of Shas HaGneva,
right.
As opposed to being a non-evaluation at all.
If we agree the evaluation of what is at the financial loss on the person to the Nigna is now at the Shas... After the Shimon.
Right.
So we agree.
Well, forget it. Okay.
We have to pay money then you got to pay the later price.
Right.
So then, why can't that also be the evaluation of what the Tzvan should be worth?
No, because so what I'm suggesting is that Rashi believes that the Iker point in Rashi is how you pay dictates what is the nature of the chi that you are addressing. So the point is, if you're paying money, so then you're looking at Kefel as double Tashlumen. And double Tashlumen doesn't go back to the Gneva. That goes back to Hamad Abedin. At least on a Kefel level. And if you are talking about replacing or replicating the object, so then you're just talking about a whole different idea. That has nothing to do with the present. That has to do with the Shas HaGneva. Now why that is true, as I said before, I might have Misvara thought differently. That is something that Rashi is getting from the Gemara, or his inner logic dictates him. I don't know. But I do know is that he's talking about different machayim.
If we're going to suggest that Rashi is going so far as to split the two ideas that Gemara is suggesting are important on the Sal Zayin,
right?
To make that you have the ability to focus completely on the value later on.
I'm just saying that on Samach Zayin, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you choose to address the Be'en aspect of Kefel, right? Then of course, paying in kind is relevant, which is what the Gemara had in mind there. Paying heinagidim in kind is different than paying cash. The only thing that the Gemara adjusted there is you can't ignore the cash completely. It has to correspond, meaning replication of the be'en also has a cash component. I'm not saying that then you're addressing two things. I'm not saying now you're addressing the be'en and you're also addressing the cash, because then you're asking, yeah, but the cash depends on Shas HaMad HaBedin. We see that from Tashlumen. But I'm saying as part of the Tachtav, as part of the be'en, you have to relate to the cash. There are two ways to relate to cash. You relate to cash as in the context of the be'en, but that, according to Rashi, depends on Shas HaGneva, the be'en and the Shas HaGneva, what it was worth then. Or you relate to tashlumin, you relate to cash, not as an effort to replace through money or to replace the ban, but as a value component, but you're just trying to pay for your crimes. That's Shas HaMalbedin.
The idea of the tashlum is the later point. I don't think Rashi didn't get that from the Gemara's Samach Zayin, did he?
No, not at all. Right. Not at all. The only thing Rashi got from Samach Zayin was that you see in Samach Zayin that how you pay will dictate how much you pay, which I think is based on the idea that you can be replicating the Be'en as opposed to... Rashi also got from there the Maskona, which is... not anything that breathes and is on four legs. You know, something that is comparable in value. But Rashi's saying comparable in value can also mean kishas agneva. That's not... But tashlumim kesef kishas amadabedin has nothing to do with samach zayin. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Okay. Sorry this took so long. That's Rashi, Ri, Rabbeinu Tam, Rambam, Tlekenem Ikardam, Kedahashta. Getting back to Shinui Kona for a minute. As I mentioned, the Rush and the name of the Rif, understand the Gemara, the simple reading of the Gemara's Shinui Kona is relevant also in establishing the halacha of establishing this particular halacha, Kein Shagonav. But as we already pointed out, why should that be so? And is it Mukrach? So just the evidence was, the Gemara sounds like it's so. Question is, what is the maskana of that Gemara? Or is there another way to read that Gemara? So I mentioned yesterday both of those points. The idea that maybe after the end of the Shakla Vitaria, we reject even the beginning, even though it isn't explicit. That idea we find in the Maharam, in the back. Maharam says, once the Gemara in Samach Hayamud Beis, you know, starts to challenge, even though they don't explicitly challenge the Shinui Kona, maybe the whole Braisa is Mishabeshta. You should just throw it out. That's Maram Samach Hayamud Beis. Second. Yes, I think it is. Oh. Always helps to look at the right Masechta, right? You agree? Unless you can do, like, you're so creative. Do those pin tests.
No matter where you look.
No matter where you look, you find what you need. Gosh, gacha also, I guess. Okay. So, Samach Hayamud Beis. Belemai shini lo kana mai mishalim kein shagana vartzoloma afilu pisvaraska nami lo misyasheva sabraisa imkein alkocha tzorchoma de bishubeshasi velekele mashma mina. That's the Maram's way of saying, based on the Shakla Vitaria, even though it seems explicit that if Shini would be Kona, that would affect the Kefel Kshas Hamada, that it would be Kshas Agneva, maybe you could throw out the Braisa. The other point was the Tosfos Ben Peretz, which speaks about Beis Shammai, right? Tosfos Ben Peretz makes a distinction. You have it? Did you find it in the end? That's one of the ones I gave you in the Marmakomos.
Yeah, it starts with Hamani.
Hamani Beis Shammai.
Yeah.
So basically, Tosfos Ben Peretz says, listen, there's a difference between a Shinui, which is not Kona, even according to the Mandam or Shinui Kona. You have it there? And a shinui, which is of sufficient quality to be shinui kone, but it's the mandamar holds shinui ene kone. He says, as far as this halach is concerned, what we really require is the kind of shinui that if you held shinui kone would work, and that's going to be a shir in tura ganve mimach, minach, dichra ganve minach. You have it there?
Yeah.
Right, go ahead.
In the beginning?
Yeah, quickly. We're
going to
finish up in a few minutes, so go ahead.
The Torah,
Dafgala el lo havi svir lei hai svir le fi divrei ha makshe sho hoye omer da fi lo man da omer shine kone lo chashiv hai shinoi lo kach hova svir lei le rebe yolai de kevin galo chashavis lei shinoi klau im kem the shom ke the hash the lo shayach lo mimar Torah gona mino.
Oh, this is what I was referring to. Meaning, there have been parents suggesting a way to read the Gemara that the issue of shinui kona, shinui eina kona, is not the impact of kinyan. It is a shiur in the tziruf to the Maisa Gneva, and therefore becomes a shiur in saying turagon v'minach, dichra gon v'minach. Yeah.
It seems pretty clear that if you were to say shinui kona, that alone would be sufficient regardless of the issue of
Maybe. But again, once you read you read the Gemara this way, that may be poor. Correct. Once you read the Gemara this way, you no longer have to say any of it. So that would, instead of saying the Maram, which is, they're raising questions of Bryce and Meshubeshes, this might explain also a little bit Rabbeinu Yonason. I also gave a look at that. Anybody have the Rabbeinu Yonason open? Who says explicitly that Shini Kona doesn't help? Everybody have that? I think it's Samach Vav Amad Aleph. Again, I have different pages numbers than the ones I'm used to, so does anybody have it? Explicitly. No? It was on the original Lamar Makomos, that piece. Just one second. Sorry, Kanabosa, she quotes the Rif. The Rif seems to say Kanabosa Shinui. And Rabbeinu Yonason disagrees. Second. No, one second, not that one. Anybody have it? I saw it last night. I just didn't see it in this particular. Okay, I don't see it at the moment, but it's here. It's the one that I gave you. No one saw the one that I assigned. Rabbeinu Yonason says explicitly that Shinui Kona is not going to affect Kefal Dal v'Hekashas Amadavid. Okay. So basically you have the Rif, the Rush, the simple reading of the Gemara on one side. Then you have possibly 2 days in Rashi. We're just not sure whether the 2 days in Rashi are about that issue or they're about foreshadowing which Michael, I think, correctly suggested yesterday. And then you have against them, you have the Maram, the in light of the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, and you have Rabbeinu Yonason, who explicitly says... I just don't have the page number in here, but who explicitly says that it's not so. So again, I think this all falls into a certain pattern. The question is, why should Shinui Kona have any impact on Kefal Dal v'Heg? Shinui Kona is about the Chepetz of the end. But the more we look at Kefal, not just as a required payment, double the Tashlumin, but again, in Rashi, it's really extreme. Now you can address it, in a way of the end to such an extent that it even affects the price. You don't have to go as far as Rashi to accept the basic idea that the kefel is mostly connected or stems from the geneva on the ban. We have many other rayas for that already. Darshin Mesuyam, the Havaminas, whether the chayfetz is destroyed or not, at what point the chiyuv kicks in, and so on. So because of all of this, we shouldn't be surprised that there's a machlokas or rishonim about Shinui Kona as well. After all, Shinui Kona eliminates Hashavas Be'en. It's what seals the Chefetz Be'en remaining with the Ganav. The idea that would be a Shas Chiyu for Kefal, because there's no longer any Hashava that seals the Kefal, makes a lot of sense. But the other Rishonim will say it's Tashlumin. It's connected to the Maisa Geneva. The Be'en, Chiyuv Hashava, Karen, all that has to do with Shinui Kona. But certainly not... the issue of kefa. And then, of course, as we said before, the Tosis Rids formulation of kefel being the equivalent of the keren of gzela, again, the issue of hareisho kalafanecha, also points in this direction. There seem to be many rayas, in addition to what we said about Darvashen and Mesuyam, that the mechayiv of kefel really is the ban. Okay. If this is true, so we can also appreciate several other things. One second. And that is, for one, this I guess we'll conclude with, Ein Shomin Lagana for the Gazlan. We said we'd get back to Yehoshua. Okay, so what is the Rambam and the Ravid on Ein Shomin Lagana for the Gazlan?
Not as well, there's so I guess it's unclear. I mean, what is clear is that they're arguing seemingly the Ravid holds like Rav and that you're either Shomin Lekevo without a not for the parent.
Okay.
And the Rambam seems to say that everything is Shasak Neva.
In other words, Ein Shomin Lagana for the Gazlan, which is a discussion in the Gemara on Yud Aleph Amin Aleph, we discussed it already, Babakama, right? Which is that Karen is different than Kefel. I'm sorry, Karen is different than Mazik. Right? And one of the reasons that Karen is different than Mazik, as we explained, is precisely because of the fact that there are, you know, Kinyanim, that we focus on the not just on the Hefsid Mamon and the Tashlumin, but on the Be'en, right? That's where we get this halacha of Ein Shomin Lagana for Lagazel. So Bepashtus, that halacha, is discussed and applies to Karen. And that's what the Ravid says. You have the Ravid in front of you?
I do not.
Okay, anybody have it open? Go ahead.
My Avram, Afal Pisha Omru, Ein Shomin Lagana, Honi Mili, Bikarno, Aval, Bekvela Shomin.
After all, Gneva is comparable to Gzela. That's a weaker argument. But some of them far from explain the Ravid. Well, what does Ein Shamin have to do with Kefel? Right? But according to the Rambam, Ein Shamin Lagana for the Gazlan applies to Kefel as well. So that's strange. So if Ein Shamin is about Tashlume Shava Kesef, Subin, that whole issue, which some Rishonim understand. The issue is, normally you're allowed to pay Shava Kesef. Here, right, Ein Shomin Lagana for Gazlan, you have to pay, you know, Damim Me'ulin. Right, can't pay piecemeal. you have to pay, you know, with one integrated, either a ban, a worthy ban, right, or Tashlume, but you can't do piecemeal. A little bit of subin, a little bit of money, can't do that. So that's very striking. I mean, why should that be true? Well, why should that be true in Gneva and Gzela too, in a certain sense? But why should it be true for Kefel, of all things? Why should the Tashlumin of Kefel be different than anything else? But in light of what we've been saying, which is, and particularly according to the Rambam, that Kefel may very well be connected not just with Tashlumin, but with the Be'en, especially if it's a replacement for the Be'en, the boomerang effect. By the way, the Rambam in, I should mention, the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim and Sefer HaChinuch both like this idea that Kefel, at least, isn't just a penalty. It is a penalty, but the penalty is, you know, the kind of Kasha Zama Mlasos kind of penalty. You know, you should now feel what it's like to be the victim. But in any case, the point is that if this is about, well, kind of the svara that we said for Rashi without the extreme application, namely, it's about replicating the ban. So the idea that maybe Shava Kesef doesn't work, or piecemeal payment doesn't work, because piecemeal payment, Shava Kesef, Subin, that makes sense, and Tashlumin. So what difference to make if I give you $100 or if I give you $20, $20, you know, $30 and $30, right? So I give you a bill, I give you a corpse, right, an animal corpse. I give another bill, I give you some cereal. As long as it all adds up to the right amount of money, why do we really care? Tashlumin. But if the point is, on some level, you're supposed to be, you know, not just compensating, but replacing, duplicating, so then it has to be something with integrity. It has to be be'en. Maybe even the tashlumin is a form of that. So that would work very well. If pachas nevela, it's not about shava kesef, subin, it's about the actual price, the actual yukur vizula issue, if that's the issue, so then it's a little more complicated. But then in a way it's even a bigger chiddush that the Rambam holds, that that the pricing is ein shaman leganav. How that works in with Shas Amad Abedin and Shas Agneva would be a little bit problematic. But either way, the point would be, and this Reb Chaim does make the point clearly, and that is that if we didn't think that the Kefel was like the Karen, in the sense that the Be'en matters, and on some level we're relating to the Be'en, it would be almost impossible to say Ein Shamin when it comes to the Kefel. Okay. So this, I think, works nicely, together with the things we said about Einim Mesuyam, and some of the other some of the issues as well. Yeah.
The Rambam in the Yad says the idea of the motive. It says an al galad means a massive shir you came to Kasar's
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. It says that that's even better. Okay. Good. Okay. That brings us to one more nafkamina. Of course that gets us back, just we should just remember that in light of that, we should get back to you know, that whole discussion we had in Tosafot Bava Kama Samach Beis on the base also, where Hachzaras HaBe'en may have been a Mechayev of Kefel for Shtaros, and we discussed whether or not Tosafot and Shavuos really argues on that point, or it's just talking about Shavuos HaVikadon. This also may affect, as I say, Chazar Karen Labailim, and a few other things as well. Okay, this brings us to Tav Rav Hashasya. We're going to stop here. So it's Thursday. Try to get through Tav Rav Hashasya. Okay, so before I go, so at least then I'll give you Makoros on Shinui Kona, and we can do that one on the way. But if you can finish up the... let's make it... I can't make it too much early because I have something before. But let's make it a little earlier at least so we can... Let's make it 10:30. We'll try for 10:30.
I saw their video, I just didn't bring it in.
But he says explicitly that
it should come out. Yeah. I got